Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome, movie fans, and for this particular guest, I'm going to say commie fans as well, because this guy, he's got a funny bone. It's up there. This guy cracks me up. This is the first time, you know, all you listeners, that I've actually talked with my guest tonight. I've been talking a lot with Fuzz on the Lens guys, people that are involved with it, the moves they do. I've been a fan of Fuzz on the Lens for a couple of years now, too. And it's just great to have another guy in. In fact, you know, I call them the Levy Brothers. That's like my ode to what they do and how passionate they are. They remind me kind of like the Coen Brothers. And, yeah, that's going to sound kind of weird, sure. But in my head, and when I talk to my friends and whatnot, I've always called them the Levy Brothers. It just seems to make sense to me. So I want to bring on Jason Levy. He's the second half, actually third half, when we consider Steve De La Sala as the DP, and he's been involved with him since the beginning as well. So I'm going to bring him on right now. Jason, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for being here, dude. You know, I love just, like, hanging out with you guys and having a good time, you know? And actually,
yeah.
You guys are just – have you just recently finished up with the actual filming of Abnormal Attraction at this time?
No, not yet. We're 4 days on, and then we're about 75 to 80% done by Sunday. So we're going to have a two-week break, and then we go back into it to film the rest of the movie at the end of August. But we're about 75 to 80% done. I was going through the script the other day, and I couldn't believe it because it seems like yesterday that we were just in pre-production looking at this stuff and be like, wow, this is a lot we got to do. And now we're at the home stretch, and it's just unbelievable how much we got done.
And the hours that you guys have been putting in, because you have your budget now. After, you know, I'm sure you got private backers and, you know, I've never discussed any of that stuff on the air, but also you had the Indiegogo campaign going and you guys did like $22,000 with that. Mm-hmm. And that actually was amazing because, you know, you had a goal of 50 and all the people that came out and donated, because I donated too, so I got access to the Indiegogo page, and I can see who donated what. You see a lot of anonymous or a lot of people who say, hey, this is me, and they'll put notes in there and shit like that. And you can see some guys were donating some pretty good sums. Listen, man, I donated $5, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I did. And that's cool with me because I do a lot of other things, the word out there, because I believe in what you guys do. I love the shit you guys do. I've been watching your stuff for almost 2 years. You know, and before,
mm-hmm.
you know, Johnny called me up one day about, you know, a little over a year ago. It was before you guys did mixed messages. he called me up. He goes, "Hey, you still doing that one radio show I was doing? I was a co-host on another show for a couple of years before I started my own show." He just called me up out of the blue one day and said, "Hey, you still doing that show, man? Because I got somebody that would work on your show." And I said, "Okay, what's up?" And he was talking about Michael, you know, when they were going out to film with Robert Englund.
Yeah, and, Fear Clinic, right? Yeah.
For Fear Clinic, yeah. And then I ended up booking them on the other show, and then talking to Steve Delasala. Man, that was a great interview. That was the first kind of personal contact I had with Fuzz, and that show went really well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about another year, I'm like, you know what? I was closing on the show, and there were so many people now that I knew that I could book, but there was so much going on the other show, it was hard to get people on. So I'm like, you know what? I'm already doing this. I should be doing this on my own, and that's what I did. And I got to tell you, Jason, this is the first time you've been on my show, but you also know about the, you know, other people that have been on my show and the reactions they get. I think it's going pretty well. You know, I'm pretty proud.
No,
it
is. I mean, I've been hearing really good things about it. And also, I just wanted to go back to the Indiegogo thing.
Sure.
We really are so appreciative of everybody that donated. I mean, $25,000, it was half of what we wanted, but we $25,000 that we got. And we are so thankful. We don't care if you gave $5. We don't care if you gave, you know, 2 cents. You know, you still showed
it's
that
support
towards us. It's all support. And just by sharing the page, you guys made this possible. You know, the movie is going to look great. I was looking at dailies the other day with Mike. We were sitting down in the basement, and we were just laughing our asses off because we think that this is something that all audiences would really enjoy. It will bring, like, the adult audience back to being kids again because of these fairy tale creatures and stuff. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So I like to thank
now
you guys for that because it wouldn't be possible without you.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's all the people that already know what you guys do and already believe in what you do that come forward. And also, you know, you and your brother are young guys, 24, 25, and you have a passion for what you do, which I've talked about this with the other guys on the show about your passion. But you also happen to be coming up in a technological age where if you guys are trying to do this back in the 90s, you wouldn't have this avenue of everything. You know, I was talking to your brother when I had him on the show, what was it, last month or whatnot, and I asked him how you guys started, and he was like, well, you know, we used whatever camera was around the house, you know, it's the old 8mm, big VHS cameras, and you guys are already, like, had a vision, and you guys are already doing stuff. I wish, you know, a lot of that stuff was up online, because I'd love to see it.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing is, I got all the home tapes, all the home videos from it, and you know how all the kids would go outside, they would play Manhunt and all this other stuff. And me and Michael, and we just wanted to go run around with our mother's video camera, and we would go and film short movies. That's what we found fun. That's where we found enjoyment. It's just going around and being different characters and coming up with stories because we just thought that was just a really great thing to do. And you know what? It was like really, you know, it was really rewarding, you know, to do that stuff. And that's everyone else went out and played Manhunt and stuff. And it brought the community together, too, because we also had friends that were like, hey, you guys are filming a movie? Oh, let me be in this. Let me do this. Let me do that. And it was always fun for everyone else as well. So,
yeah, everybody wants to be in front of the camera. Hey, these guys are doing something. They don't even care what it is you're doing. You're just running around with a video camera in the woods or whatever. And they're like, hey, put me on. I can do this or that. And people come out of the woodwork that you don't even need to go find people, you know. They'll come and go, hey, can I be in this? And then you're like, well, you know, I need this or that. And, I mean, can you do this? And you know, what kind of reaction you get from these kids that, you know, are around you guys that want to be in something that you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And also, you know, I did a lot of digging. And
here we go.
Oh, I'm not ready to go there yet. Just saying, be prepared. You heard from your brother.
I'm prepared.
But, you know, I got my list of questions and what's not. Now, after you guys
a year apart, right?
Apart in the movie. I'm a part in the movie too. We just filmed one of my scenes the other day. The character's name is Finbar in the movie, and he's one crazy character. And the funny thing is that this character was a character that we came up with years ago. We did it. It was a high school movie called Rock Bottom. And we had this idea for a character about this creepy guy and stuff. And it was about the movie was about two kids who were losers who were trying to become cool. And there was this creepy guy called Finbar that was out on the loose of the streets, and everyone was looking for him. But then we were looking for the right movie to bring that character back to life. And when we were writing A Normal Attraction, it was originally supposed to be a short film. And then we were like, you know what? We really don't want to do the short films. We've been there. We've done that before. So we started extending it and making it into a feature, and we thought, you know, the whole monsters and humans thing, Finbar would fit right in, that creepy character, that comic relief for the movie. And we just thought, let's bring him back to life now, and that's a really fun fact for you guys, because Finbar was someone who was developed a long time ago.
Yeah, and Finbar, I was going to ask, a lot of guys that create voices and characters, in your mind, do you have like a backstory for each of these? Moke and Donna, obviously, her backstory is she smoked her whole life, and she's got a fucked up voice.
Yeah.
And then Finbar, though, you know, he in your mind, does he have a backstory? Because you created him a long time ago.
Yeah.
Does he have a history, or where did he come from?
Well, you know what? He is just very misunderstood, and very stupid. So I wanted to bring that really comedic voice to it, because you have to portray that when you're doing the characters, and I just had fun with it. I was doing this voice with Michael years ago when we were first coming up with the character, and he's like, that's got to be the voice for him. So he kind of talks like this, he's kind of southern like that, and he talks very southern and very stupidly. So that's where basically we came up with Finbar, and you like to have a little fun with it. So.
Well, you got to have fun with, characters are... Listen, it's not everybody that can come up with characters and then put a voice to that character, and then the character develops, and as the character develops, you know, he's got to come from somewhere. He's got to have some kind of history that made that character
right
what he is. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm asking. Like, in your mind, does Finbar have a past?
I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say he really does have a past, because, Finbar we really didn't come up with that much backstory with him. It was just like, you know what, where can we get a comical relief type character? And I was like, you know what, we'll throw this guy in there and we'll give him this funny voice and that will be it. It just came off the top of my head, this voice, and I was like, all right, let's just do it this way, I guess. And then everyone started laughing. I'm like, I guess that's it then, you know?
Hey, it worked. Let's go with it.
Yeah, exactly. If it works, do it. And you know what? Those are my favorite types of characters to play. I don't like playing, like, if I'm going to be an actor in a movie or something like that, my favorite role is going to be characters, because you get to be somebody that someone you're not. And I think that's so entertaining. I can't do like drama roles. I can't take myself serious. I can't. I like making people laugh. That's what I enjoy doing. If I can make somebody laugh somebody laugh throughout their day, then I'm happy, you know?
That's the thing, and listen, like I told you, I've been a fan of Fuzz for 2 years, and you know, Back to the Movies was an opportunity for you to play different weird characters and shit, because you guys are floating from one movie to another and whatnot, like the whole shower scene from Psycho, you know, you show up and the knife and blah blah, and then you walk off and we see you from behind and you turn your head and then that's Jason and you flip the bird.
Yeah.
To me, that's
comic
genius. It was such a little thing, but it was fucking funny as shit. And then favorite part was with the scene on the rooftop, and I can't remember which movie that was. So I don't believe I've seen that.
It was
movie,
from
the
Departed. It was Departed.
Departed. Okay, but just and then
right.
All of a sudden, man, Steve Dallasella comes out with the blackface and everything, and then the camera comes back to you and Michael, and you got the mop on your head and the face makeup and. You know, the voice you put on talking about your head movies and, oh, it makes my eyes rain.
Yeah,
I watched that part so many times, dude, because I just keep laughing. I'm like, I got to talk to this fucking guy. I got to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. They, you know, it's funny. They always put me in those things. They're like, hey, Jason, why don't you put a mop on your head, put a bunch of freckles on there, and act stupid. I was like, all right, whatever. Do what you need to do. If it's funny, then I'll do it. Do what you need to do,
and
Mike.
Always,
literally, I'm
like,
I'm like the guinea pig. I'm like the guinea pig. They make me do everything.
And you know what? There's always a wig involved.
Yeah, of course, because obviously, you know, bald, they're like, let's see what you hair. You'll look funny with hair because no one's really seen you with it before, so why not? We'll just throw a mop on you. We'll throw a different wig on you, you know? That's funny. With
now,
you know.
Your brother, Michael, went bald for a bit during the filming of Abnormal Attractions. And I got to be honest, and I know Michael's going to hear it, Mikey, you shit about it, but I don't think he pulled it off quite right.
No, he didn't.
But
there's only one Levy who could pull off the bald look, and he's not one of them. I told him the other day, I said, Mike, I don't know why you did it. I said, you literally, your head looked like a peanut. So, I don't know, your head's too small. It doesn't work. And
but
he goes, what are you talking about? He said, how do you get away with it? I said, because, Mike, no one can look like this. I'm sorry. But no one can look like that. And he's like, all right, whatever, I'm not doing
it
again.
Now, I got to ask you, why the bald head at 24 years old? Is it just because it looks good and you're comfortable with that, or is there some other thing behind it? I know you don't have cancer or nothing like that, but
No.
You look good with the bald head, dude, and you pull it off. No matter what you wear,
thank
a
you.
Suit, a T-shirt, whatever, the thing looks good. Your skull and your scalp is shaped perfectly to pull that off.
Thank you, man. Well, this is what happened. When I was young, I had this thing. It's like an autoimmune disease that just literally you're not allowed to grow hair. That's the whole thing. So it's called alopecia is the name of it. And just when I was very young, it all fell out, and I never got it back. I had my last haircut, and that was it. They strapped me down. They shaved my head off, and I'm like, where'd the hair go? My mom goes, it's puberty. I'm like, Mom, you're supposed to grow hair during puberty, not lose it. So she gives me all these funny stories. But, it was called alopecia, and literally all the hair just doesn't grow. And I had that since I was in second grade. And you know what? I haven't looked back ever since because, you know what, it looks good and I'm fine with it. And that's it. I'm comfortable, you know?
Well, I got to tell you, if that's your natural look, you don't have to worry about keeping it up. That's a bonus.
Oh, exactly. And you know how much money I save on haircuts? I'll tell you that right now.
You know?
I save a lot of money on haircuts.
Oh, yeah. and razors or clippers. You know, my wife cuts my hair because I'm just fucking, we're both frugal that way, right? And I could go to a barber. I keep my hair really, really short. You know, I'm 46, and you know, if I have a hard hat on and my hair is more than, you know, a half an inch long, it gets caught in the inside. And it's just, it's time to cut my hair. And it's just short, but it's not bald. But when I was younger, I always had longer hair. And then I look at pictures of myself when I was, like, in my 20s and my 30s, and my hair never looked quite right. It just, I look at those old pictures, and I'm like, yeah, I could never do anything with it. Now it's like I look great all the time, and it's like I can get in the shower. I don't have to worry about shampoo and all that shit. It's just poof in the water with some soap. Hey, it's done. It's good. It's got to be even better for you.
Right. No, yeah, I know. And you know what's funny? And everybody, you know, everybody comes up to me and they go, like when we're doing the makeup stuff, because Finbar takes about 3 hours in and out of makeup. You got to go 3 hours in and then it takes 3 hours to take it all off. So everyone comes up to me and goes, you know how easy this makes it, that you're bald, that we can just, it's so much easier to do because with the hair, you got to put on a bald cap. You got to worry about the glue getting stuck in your hair and stuff. And she goes, the makeup artist, the lead makeup artist and production designer on the film is Brianna Calcagno. And she's like, it is so easy for me. You make my job a lot easier, at least on one monster, because there are about like 20 monsters in this movie. She goes, at least you're easy. You know, that's mm-hmm. always good too.
You're in and out of the chair quicker than other guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 3 hours is really nothing in the movie when you're doing special effects makeup artists. I know people who've been in a chair for 8 hours. I know people who've been in a chair for 12 hours. So I'm thankful it's only 3. I have to get up halfway through and stretch. That's how like bored I get in the chair. But you just got to lean back and relax, and that's it.
You're out eating a bagel while the rest of these guys are still in the chairs.
Right, exactly. I'm up. I'm like, all right, guys, enjoy your time. I'm leaving. And then they all give me the look, and they're like, oh, God. It's like this guy gets out early every day.
Your character, Finbar, and Johnny and I were talking about this when I had him on, his character is driving Johnny's truck that he had retrofitted. He built himself the big old fire
flames,
stack.
Yeah, the flames.
Coming up the back.
Uh-huh.
How is that working with your character? I mean, I don't know how much you can give away right now or anything like that, but you can give me a little exclusive here on Baldhead Radio regarding that truck and your character.
Well, I'll tell you, the truck, Johnny came, well, I wasn't there when they made the truck. I heard about it through the grapevine, and then finally the truck shows up on set, and I turn to Johnny, I'm like, you did this? I guarantee you did this, because this looks like a Johnny job right here. And Johnny was like, yep. And I just see the flames right out of the top. I'm like, this is perfect. I said, it works right for the character. This is the car he would drive. He's a weirdo. He has flames coming out of the top of his car. Only Johnny would come up with something like that. So I was like, Johnny, you know what? That's great. He wanted to stick a head on there, on the front of the hood. I was like, all right, Johnny, do what you want. I'll let you have free reign on the car. And he did it. And he did a fantastic job. And it looks great. It really looks good on film. Looks phenomenal.
What's the head on the hood?
There was it didn't work out too well because I told Johnny he can't use it, but he made a head. It was supposed to be like one of those skull heads, I guess, that you can that you see in like the desert or something. And it just didn't work out right, so we were like, all right, Johnny, we got to scratch that. He's like, really? I was like, yeah, Johnny, sorry, buddy. We'll let the flame stay, but the head's going to be in the trash. He's like, oh, all right. But Johnny's always a good sport like that. You can just tell him like that. And he'll,
I bet you, John,
you just tell him,
Johnny's
no, he'll be all right.
Thinking. I bet you Johnny's got that thing in his front yard just looking at it going, if only it made it into
of
the
course.
Film.
he's got all the props that he's making the film in his house, and I got all the props in my house. My house is a disaster right now. I got monster heads everywhere. I got all these outfits and stuff. That's just all my basement scattered all over the place. And when this movie's over, we got to buy a big storage facility because I don't know what I'm going to do with half this stuff. And I was like, get it out. I'm like, Mom, we got to film a movie.
I got things to do. I got to put this stuff somewhere.
I got to film a movie, Mom. Please. Not now.
Oh, man. I'm going to go back a little bit. Actually, I'm going to take a risk here to tell you the truth. Because the shorts that Fuzz has done, of the shorts, my favorites are probably Mama's Boys and Like Father, Like Son. And all you Fuzz guys know that me, Mr. Brett Crewson, host of Baldhead Radio, loves those two films because Johnny's in it. And he does an incredible job. And those, when I saw those things, it was when I was just getting to know you guys by watching your shit. But I got to ask you now, and this ties in, and I could be totally wrong, and let me know if I am, but this ties into the Ice Bucket Challenge that you guys all did, and there were several videos that came up. The Staten Island Clown did it. You guys did it by the poolside. You did two different takes of that. And then your grandmother did it, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask
she
you,
did it.
And like I said, I could be totally wrong about this, but was your grandmother the one in Mama's Boys?
Yes, she was. I tried to put my grandmother in.
Damn it, I got it right. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
I'm good.
We try to do it because my grandmother is just, she's out of this world.
She's awesome,
crazy.
Dude.
She's just like us. We get our sense of humor from her. And she literally is the sweetest woman you ever met. She can hold a conversation with you for 8 hours. 8 hours
she,
and go on
dude,
for another 12.
Dude, she seems so awesome. Like,
oh, she really is, and that's what, she really is, and we try to put her in every movie we do because we all call her Grandma. Johnny, everybody on the team, it's Grandma to everybody, and she makes you feel like you're her grandkids, you know, and we try to throw her in everything because we just love having her on set. She's like the life of the party, you know.
She seems like the chick to hang out with, you know.
Oh yeah, she has an Instagram account. She has an Instagram account. She calls it Instagramma. I mean, she's clever too. Oh,
nice.
Yeah,
dude, that's really cool, man. Yeah, because my brother was over, and he likes to call into the show sometimes. Actually, the first show I ever did 4 months ago, you're my eighth guest. Because I just started my show like 4 months ago, so, and it's going pretty good right now. But he was my first guest. I got the website up, and I got the connections all made, and I got the account set up, and then I had to do a test show to just make sure everything was going right. And I called my brother up because He worked on a movie, or it was a HBO show called Luck, and it was about horse racing and shit. My brother's been a horse guy for 20-something years, so he ended up being able to work on this show. So he was my first guest, you know, and they got it all started and everything. But anyway, he was over here like Tuesday or something, and he wanted to call in tonight. And I go, well, if you're gonna call in, you got to know who we're talking about. So I showed him all the different Fuzz videos and Back to the Movies and Mama's Boys and your reel, you know, voice acting reel and shit like that. And he's like, wow, dude, this guy's really cool. He wasn't able to do it. He had other things to do, unfortunately. He called me like half hour before the show, and so he wasn't able to do it. But I just forgot where I was going. See, that's what happens on the show. You never know when it's going to go off the track. Right now, you know, in Back to the Future 3, when they're throwing all the colored logs and shit, and the train just kept going and going. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I know. That's one of my favorite movies, too.
Yeah, I like all three of them. The third one wasn't as good, but it fit all of them.
It all comes together.
Hey, I saw you posted earlier today about the remake of fucking
Jumanji.
Jumanji. You know, shouldn't they just leave that alone? I mean, how many remakes can you have, and how many of them actually fly? I don't know. Who's it going to get to replace Robin Williams' character?
No, exactly. And I'll tell you something right now. The reason why I got into acting and filmmaking was because of Robin Williams, because he is by far my favorite actor, and was my favorite actor. And because he did all the voices too, you know, when he did Mrs. Doubtfire, that's like one of the first things I saw that made me want to go into voice acting was I watched the scene where he's doing all the voices, like I do voices, and he goes from voice to voice to voice. And he was just a big inspiration for me, and I don't see how, because Sony Pictures is making the movie, I don't know how they're going to replace him. I don't know how they're going to try to make this movie good like the original. There's some movies that could be remade, but this is not one of them. You can't remake a classic like Jumanji. You just can't.
You can't. And also, the problem is the studios are counting on a younger audience that knows nothing about any of these originals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got a buddy of mine, Mike Dawson, that I had on the show about a month or something ago. Known him for a long time, but he just got done working on the Terminator movie last year, and he did American Horror Story and shit like that. But he's right now working on a remake of The Magnificent Seven. And I actually threw him for a loop because we were talking about remakes of different movies from the past and how they all fall flat and they just don't do justice. And I kind of threw him for a loop and I said, so you're working on this remake of Magnificent Seven. And he was like, you motherfucker. I caught him, dude.
Yeah.
And, but he's like, no, but this is, you know, it's a Western, and there's not a lot of Western remakes out there. Like, we had the Coen brothers did, anyway, my brain's going. Jeff Bridges was in it, and it was the remake of the original John Wayne. My brain is like totally. I got a whole computer screen in front of me. I don't even have my information correct when I go off the deep end over here. But anyway, Westerns seem to do a lot better as far as remakes because they seem to be a lot more faithful. Well, especially the Coen brothers. Anytime they do anything, these guys are amazing. You like the Coen brothers?
I have mixed feelings on the Coen brothers. I have mixed feelings. I feel like some of their stuff are a little bit too long. I could, like, they can cut things down. I really wasn't a big fan of Fargo. A lot of people like that movie. I wasn't a big fan.
Yeah.
Me and Steve talk about it all the time how we were not really big fans of them, you know. But I give them a lot of credit. They're doing what they want to do. They're an independent, you know, two independent brothers who are making films, and they're making money. You know, they're making movies. They're not really going the Hollywood route. They're taking it from the independent standpoint, and they're successful at it. You know.
And that was the whole thing I wanted to point out is, you know, these guys just didn't give a shit about Hollywood and the politics and all that. They're like, we're going to take whatever money we got, and we're going to go, and we're going to do what we want to do, and you guys can go screw. Because we have what we want to do. We have a vision. And you and Michael and Steve DeLaSala with you and everybody that works with your production company, you guys are doing it the same way. And I got to be honest, I see you guys on a lot of places. I mean, you know, you have a passion for what you do, and you know what you want to do, and you're about doing it the way that you guys want to do it. You don't want it changed or deviated because of some politics or financial reasons, or like if you were backed by a huge studio, then they come in and go, wait a minute, your budget is this, and you got to do this and that, or you got to cut that out, or we want you to add